风声、雨声、开盘声，声声入耳。股市、汇市、房市、天下事，事事关心。欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周财经节目。每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出。电话425-321-2659。
2020年12月11日星期五，各位听众朋友们，大家晚上好，这里是西雅图中文电台每周财经节目，我是主持人静怡。首先我来回顾一下本周的股市。美股周五收盘涨跌不一，标普500指数录得了连续三个交易日的下跌。美国新一轮的抗疫纾困刺激政策再度陷入了僵局。英国无协议脱欧的前景令市场担忧。美国参议院通过为期一周的临时支出法案以避免政府停摆。特朗普政府敦促 FDA 尽快批准辉瑞的疫苗。道指涨 47.1 点，或 0.16%， 报 30,046.37 点。纳指跌 27.94 点，或 0.23%， 报 12,377.87 点。标普500指数跌 4.65 点，或 0.13%， 报 3,663.45 点。美国食品与药物管理局 FDA 局长 Steven 在周五表示，很快就会批准辉瑞疫苗的紧急使用授权申请，并称该机构正在最终确定必要的文件，以确保患者和疫苗提供者获得赖以做出明智决定所需的信息。美国11月生产者指数价格指数 PPI 升幅保持温和，表明随着疫情继续给经济带来压力，生产商定价能力有限。美国劳工部在周五公布的数据中显示，11月份的 PPI 环比增长 0.1%， 低于10月的 0.3% 的涨幅。此前接受调查的经济学家预测中值为增长 0.1%， PPI 同比升幅 0.8%， 为连续第三个月实现同比的增长。不包括浮动较大的食品和能源，核心的 PPI 比上一个月上升了 0.1%，较去年同期上升 1.4%， 预计在中值是环比增长 0.2%， 同比增长 1.5%。 其他市场方面，周五德国的 DAX 30指数下跌 183.43 点，跌幅为 1.38%， 报 13,112.30 点。英国富时100指数收跌 59.66 点，跌幅为 0.90%， 报 6450.10 点。法国的 CAC 40指数收跌 42.10 点，跌幅为 0.76%， 报 5507.55 点。欧洲托斯克50指数收跌 35.10 点，跌幅为 1%， 报 3487.15 点。西班牙的 IBEX 35指数收跌 117.380 点，跌幅为 1.44%， 报 8064.50 点。意大利的富时指数收跌 223.10 点，跌幅为 1.02%， 报 21692.50 点。汇市方面，美元周五在避险买盘的推动下上涨，市场风险偏好下降，因担心美国刺激政策计划在新冠肺炎病例数激增之际推迟，而且英国在未达成协议的情况下脱欧的可能性也越来越大了。英镑相对于其他货币表现落后，在美国国会通过了权益支出法案避免政府停摆之后，日元在纽约汇市回吐了部分的涨幅。美元现货指数上涨 0.21 至 90.98， 目前是略高于12月4日触及的两年半来的新低，是 90.471。 期限为一周的权益支出法案预计将在周五由美国总统特朗普签署，美国的经济刺激政策协议仍陷入了僵局。欧安达的市场分析师 Edward 表示， 在许多方面来看，这都是令人失望的一周。新冠援助计划磋商没有获得任何的进展，鹰退将再次到达关键的时刻。美国的病例人数和住院人数仍然以惊人的速度增长，这可能会导致更多的限制和封锁的措施。随着全球经济增长的提速，以及美联储预计在未来几年内将把利率推进于接近零的水平，分析师大多预计美元将进一步疲软。黄金期货方面，随着贵金属投资者对华府刺激政策谈判的僵局，英国无协议退欧前景，以及美国大宗商品价格上涨的一些迹象做出反应，本周金价录得了涨幅。RJI Futures 市场是高级策略分析师鲍表示，在对刺激谈判协议政策陷入僵局，并进而打击经济复苏的担忧占据了上风，提升了黄金的保值需求。金价上涨反映出投资者预计，如果到周末还没有达成刺激政策，股市将会下跌。COMEX 二月的黄金期货收涨 0.3%，报1843.60美元每盎司，本周累涨0.2%。最后，我们再来看黄金原油期货。油价在周五从九个月的高点回落，不过勉强维持住了周涨幅。美国新一轮的纾困方案谈判陷入僵局，降低了石油需求近期内得到提振的可能性。西德克萨斯中质油周幅是涨幅不到1%，布伦特原油在本周早些时候突破了50美元，关键技术指标周四显示出了超买，因此价格回落也在预期之中。因市场前景改善，美国原油期货自10月份以来上涨了约30%，彭博指数表示，全球的汽油和柴油消费上周达到了两个月的高位。中国、印度炼厂的购买也显示出了在亚洲现货需求可能继续构成支撑，不过涨幅不可不无占歇的理由。道明证券在报告中就表示，明年初油价上行的空间可能受限，对防疫封锁的担忧以及 OPEC 成员国之间的摩擦可能会构成近期的阻力。 S&P Global Platters 表示，在石油需求回升的背景下，明年对市场份额的争夺可能会加剧价格的波动。 WTI 1月的原油期货是收跌 0.21 美元，跌幅为 0.45%， 报 46.57 美元每桶，本周累计是上涨 0.67%。 布伦特在2月原油期货价格收跌是 0.28 美元，跌幅是 0.56%， 报 49.97 美元每桶，本周累涨 1.46%。 好，我们进入节目的第二个阶段，回顾一下本周一些大公司方面的动态。美国私募股权公司红杉资本和 KKR 正领投字节跳动的最新一轮的融资，为其估值约1800亿美元。字节跳动在这轮投资中是在大约一个月前启动的，目前已经接近了尾声。本轮的投资的目标是募集20亿美元的资金，这笔融资将成为全球私人市场，也就是非公开市场最具价值的一轮融资。在过去的两年中，字节跳动的价值已经翻了一倍而多。今年早些时候，字节跳动在二级私募股权市场的估值已经达到1400亿美元。目前字节跳动在中国数字广告业务上仅次于阿里巴巴，排名第二位。苹果公司已经开始研发自家的蜂窝网络调制解调器，该芯片将用在苹果未来的硬件产品中，以取代高通公司的同类芯片。苹果公司在2019年以10亿美元的价格收购了英特尔的调制解调器业务，这笔交易帮助苹果建立了一个软件和硬件工程师团队，从而实现了自己开发蜂窝网络调制解调器的计划。爱立信移动市场的报告预计，到2026年，每10个移动签约用户中将会有4个使用 5G。 目前 5G 在签约用户数和人口覆盖率方面的增长趋势显示， 5G 是历史上部署速度最快的移动通讯技术。据报告显示，到2020年底， 5G 将覆盖全球计划10亿人口，也占据了全球总人口的 15%。 到2026年， 5G 将覆盖全球 60% 的人口， 5G 签署用户人数可达到35亿人口。预计到今年年底，北美地区将有约 4% 的移动签约用户使用着 5G， 在欧洲地区 5G 签约人数可以达到 1% 左右。8英寸的晶圆产能持续紧张受到关注，驱动 IC、 电源、移动 IC 纷纷传来涨价的信息。8英寸的晶圆的下游需求主要是来自于电源管理芯片、图像传感芯片、指纹识别芯片、驱动显示驱动 IC 和射频芯片以及功率器械等在内的器件等领域。受益于整个居家办公的趋势和 5G 热潮带动的强劲的需求，大多数芯片公司都将在2021年8英寸晶圆的价格提高了至少 20%， 紧急订单也甚至提价 40%。 世界第三大硅晶圆企业台湾的环球晶圆在12月 10日宣布，就收购同行的第四位的德国 Siltronic 正式签署协议，收购额是约为 37.5 亿欧元，计划在整个月内实施公开要求收购，在2021年下半年完成整个的收购。环球晶圆表示，与本公司相比，德国的公司的第三代的半导体材料等尖端的研发取得了进展，收购将大幅扩大产能，满足客户的需求。华特迪士尼公司的旗舰流媒体服务迪士尼加目前在全球拥有8680万订户。自迪士尼在上次的10月初的报告中显示，新增的客户是达到了1300万。除了迪士尼加，其呼噜服务拥有3880万订阅户，它的 ESPN 加拥有着近1200万订户。该公司将在未来的几年发行超过100部电影和节目，其中 80% 直接上线迪士尼加。迪士尼的股价在周五攀升了逾 13%， 也创下了其历史新高，收于 175.72 美元。日本的吉本兴业控股将与中国上海文广集团在上海市合作运营剧场，准备上演演唱会、音乐剧、喜剧小品等节目，还将联合运营文化交流基地，传播日本的各种创作内容。最早年内设立吉本兴业的首个中国法人，正式开拓中国市场。吉本兴业在韩国、泰国、印度尼西亚、美国和台湾等国家和地区都有着当地的法人。吉本兴业在日本国内有大阪、东京等14处永久的剧场，还将把日本培育的整个的经营模式也推广到中国来。东南亚地区最大的银行星展集团在周四宣布将启动数码交易平台，利用区块链技术为机构投资者及认可投资者提供加密技术等数码投资的资产代币化和二级市场交易，形成资金募集的生态系统。新加坡交易所将持有星展银行数码交易平台 10% 的股份。美国万通互惠人寿保险公司在周四披露，已为其普通投资基金购买了价值1亿美元的比特币，成为最新一家涉足数字投资的主流公司。比特币今年已上涨逾1倍，并于本月的早些时候达到了19,864.15美元的历史高位。主流金融机构的兴趣激增，不仅改变了比特币的形象，还引发了供应的短缺。美的集团旗下的 暖通与楼宇事业部在12月11日与灵光电梯在佛山举行并购交割及战略合作启动仪式，标志着美的正式进军了电梯业，扩容智能楼宇业务。前不久，美的把中央空调事业部更名为暖通与楼宇事业部。好，我们接下来是节目的第三个阶段，也就是话题讨论时间。今天我们要讨论一个什么话题呢？今天我们要讨论的话题和每个听众朋友们都有关系，因为也就是我们的餐饮业，民以食为天，所以今天我们讨论一下在新冠疫情下的餐饮业的发展。Hey Sam, welcome to the conversation again. Hope you are doing well. Today, I'm going to bring up a very, very interesting topic, which is about food and the restaurant.So we want to discuss with you what is happening in food and the restaurant industry in pandemic.
Sure. I love food and I love restaurants. And a lot is happening in that space, especially thanks to the pandemic. A lot of the restaurants went out of business. A lot of restaurants are trying to use apps to get their food to customers. And so a lot of things are different.
Cool. So...As you mentioned, we, because of like there's constraints, so we have to, seek a different ways to participate into like restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. The one you mentioned is very interesting about apps. So let me translate our beginning, then we'll get back to it right away. 就像 Sam 刚刚说到的，因为整个的新冠疫情还有居家令的下制，导致我们没有办法再像以前一样去餐厅就餐。在这种情况下，有很多应用商店，就比如这种应用程序孕育而生，而且是在旨在帮助整个餐饮业的发展。但最终现在的情况是如何呢？我们进一步讨论一下。As we mentioned, like those apps, they are aiming to helping the industry, like the restaurant industry. How the data looks like, and also just as out of interest, as a consumer, Sam, you.Have you ever participated into it, and how does your experience look like too?
I'll start with the second question. Yeah, I've only participated once this year, and it was to get a cake for a coworker since all of us are working from home. So we wanted to do something special. And so we took advantage of, I think it was DoorDash, my team and I. It worked out nice. It wasn't too hard, as a consumer of the service. Mm. As far as the overall numbers, it's tough on businesses. From some of the reporting that I've read, it's not very, it helps restaurants. It's better to have some income, but it takes their profit margins, which are relatively low, and even erodes them more. And it's kind of a mixed bag. But as far as IPOs and other things, those companies are doing pretty well.The app companies.
像 Sam 刚刚说到的，他从他个人的一个应用来看，确实是发现整个一个应用程序的需求，像这种餐饮业的这种快递是需求是存在的，像 Sam 也是其中的一个受益者。但是如果是站在整个餐饮业的商家的角度来看，并不是像提供服务的这么一些应用程序的公司所述的有更多更大的一些需求，像比如说餐饮业这些餐厅，并不是很多餐厅是收到了更多的受益，因为在整个顾客来说是更倾向于订购一些更加便利的服务，而更加便利的这些餐饮并不像商家来看的更加有利可图的一些开胃菜呀、甜点或者是第二轮的饮料之类的。Yeah, it's very interesting, like, from the business perspective, like those business building apps, for them, seems like they are getting more and more, I would say, tractions from the market.From a consumer perspective, it's also very good, like as you mentioned, as one of the consumer, it solves one of the needs. But for the restaurant industry perspective, it does not seem like seems like creating a lot of profits as those app company or tech company are promised. Could you please help us to understand how that those company make money? For example, let's just take DoorDash as an example.
So, yeah, I don't know if all of them follow the same methodology, but I'm assuming it's some version of this is used throughout. So they will, for example, have delivery fees. So as a consumer, when I was purchasing the cake, there was a fee that I paid on top of the actual price for the food. Then, as those items are sold for the restaurant, they take a percentage of the overall sale. So I think there are some that go higher than 30% or higher. I think DoorDash was doing like 20%, and they cut it down in May of 2000 to, I think, 10%. And then there's also the other aspect of it, which is for a consumer of DoorDash services. So, for example, me, I could have purchased a Dash Pass, and basically it's kind of like having a Netflix subscription to their service. And so if you have, you know, a certain amount of food that you've ordered, I think $15 or more, you don't have to pay the fee. And so that those are the few ways that I am aware of that they bring in revenue.
Okay. 所以就是在 DoorDash 刚才我们提到有三种来源，一个就是快递费，第二个就是相当于说是一个 commission fee，这个就是由整个的这个商家，就是这种餐饮业的商家来支付，还有一个就是客户支付的这个叫有一种就相当于说是一种订购，也是一种 subscription service 叫做 Dash Pass. Sam, I'm very curious about like.For this particular things, why isn't like those industries, like the restaurant industry or restaurant owners make some money? Because I read the DoorDash value proposition saying like they will get the restaurant like more customers. Then wouldn't that be enough for the restaurant to cover?
So under normal circumstances...If you think about how a restaurant dining experience works,
yes.
Generally, the main food isn't where the big money is made. That's a very narrow margin and might almost have no margin to keep themselves competitive and various other reasons. The money is made on high profit items, drinks and appetizers, and those types of things are not typically ordered through these services.And so now these fees and everything else are trying to squeeze a very small percentage, right? So that basically leaves very little room for businesses for any kind of errors. So they have no buffer to be able to make it, you know, for the next day. And so that's why these can be problematic for businesses just because of the behavior change of consumers.
像 DoorDash 提出的整个主要的三个要素。来吸引这些餐饮业方面的这些人员是说他可以帮助这个一些餐厅接触新客户提高其利润而且还可以增加其品牌的影响力但是正如 Sam 解释到的现在客户所有的客户这种行为已经发生了逐渐的改变所以导致即便是接触了新客户，但是客户订购的这些食品，利润本身就少，再加上 DoorDash 也要在这些商家上再榨取一些利润，所以说利润就是真的是微吃更微了。At this moment, Sam, I want to ask you, anything we could do or anything government can do?To help the entire industry?
Yeah, I mean, there's numerous things that can be done and some things were done. Initially, when COVID started in the United States, there were benefits for small businesses that were extended. Money and also, you know, customers got stimulus checks and so on. And so that helped them go further so they can stay open for a little while longer while...the stuff that is tough happens. So that's one aspect of what can be done. Another aspect is certain states and counties have try to limit the number or the percentage of the fees that these app-based services charge the restaurants, so it could make it a little more sustainable, so they can try to get through this tough period.
像 Sam 说到的，其实是在从三月份以来呢，因为整个低利润企业方面陷入了困境，其实是从政府是有一部分补贴，但是还有一部分呢，但是还有就像今天我们也播报出来，其实在支撑这些行业的刺激法案也是停滞不前了。还有一个方面的努力，就是一些这种州政府也是提出了在收取费用方面提出限制，就比如说是我知道华盛顿就有像之前说的20% commission fee 在 restaurant owner 当中，现在也是降到了15%，所以这也是另外一方面的一个帮助。I want to ask you, Sam, like there is a last question I want to hear from your opinions. With those like concerns and also the constraints.Of humans and peoples, and right now, with behavior got changed. So, do you see there any other changes in the long run? So, do you think like in the future we're probably gonna just use apps, or we can go back to a certain normal way we did before for restaurant industry? And from the industry owner perspective, what do you think they should prepare?
It's a great question, and it's a hard question. I think.I'll just try to tackle the first part or the part about what a restaurant owner has. So the assumption in your question that I would want to just call out is people that own restaurants can survive till things get better. So that's number one. Assuming they survive, they're going to have a lot of, you know, scars, experiences, whatever you want to call it, that are going to shape how they want to do business. Some of them might want to closeWith their restaurants and switch to different industries because maybe they just don't want to deal with this if another pandemic happens, right? Some of them might have a more aggressive self-delivery model or they might set up like a local, you know, non-big company like a DoorDash or something like that to do these sort of things and plan for it because they know that their profit margins get eaten away. So they might set up local partnerships or something to that effect and do these things themselves.And then as far as what consumers can do and what their behaviors are going to change, that's a really great question. I think it all comes down to how the current experiences that we're discussing are treating people. If people don't like their food being delivered, they're probably going to want to go to restaurants, and there's probably going to be some level of that. But if people are finding a lot of value and convenience in these services that were kind of forced on all of them, then I think it's likely to...stay around or become, you know, more popular, which is beneficial to, you know, the DoorDashes and other companies that are doing this. And so it's really about what businesses can survive and how consumers' tastes change. That's going to dictate a lot of the stuff that we're discussing.
2020年真的是一个非常特殊的一年，新冠疫情使得我们必须产生一些改变。好在呢，在今年我觉得年底也是一些疫苗的实验为大家看到一些希望，也为未来可能会恢复一些餐饮安全也带来了一些光明。祝大家一切好。以上就是节目的全部内容，感谢大家的收听，我们下期再见。
每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出，电话 425-321-2659。